And welcome to the Everyday Board Game Podcast with Daniel.
And Daniel.
Good morning, everybody. A nice, beautiful Wednesday morning. We are hitting like our eighth day in a row. I know it's afternoon. You're looking at me weird. It was morning 3 minutes ago. Give me that much. We are hitting crazy amounts of really high weather or high temperature here.
Yep. Triple digits for the rest of the week. Got a little bit of rain last night, though. That was nice.
Yeah, that was a nice.
It only cooled it down to 100 rather than 109. So
right, exactly. It dropped it by a whole 9. It's gonna be a frigid 101 today. Yeah, no, it's ridiculous. We had like 3 days in a row that were 108 degrees out.
Yeah, close to 110. I was talking to my mom and I asked her, when did we move to Phoenix? I don't get it.
Right, exactly. Yeah, no, it's been ridiculous, but. I mean, even better for social distancing and staying inside, that gives us a really good reason right there.
Yeah.
So.
Which makes me laugh because a lot of people are protesting the fact that we got to stay inside. Well, you weren't going to go outside anyways. It's 110 degrees.
Right. It's like, you're going to go outside and your face is going to melt off, you know, but.
Man, I had to work on my car for 5 minutes and it was ridiculous. I got sunburned.
In 5 minutes? Did I have a typo in mind? Oh, okay. By Needs More Love. Both. I would say by more people knowing about it. It doesn't get played enough. A lot. It's not enough people's radar. That's kind of how we're going with it. So let's go into our topic real quick.
There's a couple on my list here that came out around the same time as another game. And so... they're around the same mechanics and same theme and stuff like that. So one overtook another, but I really like the other one. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah, mine are kind of the same thing. So our viewers at home and our listeners, our topic today is what are some games that need more love? And so we thought today would be kind of like a shout out day. You know, we talk about some of those games that we personally love or that we don't feel enough people know about or have played. Or just don't give it the credit that we feel it deserves.
My experience basically comes from our game group. I also looked up at the rankings on Board Game Geek just to make sure I'm not putting something that's highly touted on my list. But yeah.
Right, exactly. My highest rated is 443. And I think what it is it's played more in a European market.
So my highest rated is in the 300, so it does get enough love, but it's also an honorable mention, and it's one of those games I was saying that one game, they came out around the same time, and one is a lot more love than the other.
Gotcha. Okay. So yeah, this will be a fun little topic, but first, before we get into our topic, today is Wednesday. Daniel, what have you been playing lately?
Ooh, this is a good question. We had some fun on Saturday. Wow, first time we've gotten together in about a month.
Yep.
And so we're thinking about turning our game night into a monthly thing.
Hopefully, yeah.
If it's safe to do so, like with everything getting locked down again, we'll see what happens within the next 4 weeks or so. But, oh man, I got to play a bunch of games on Saturday that made me quite happy. However, I do want to talk about a game I played on Sunday. And I've talked about it before, and that is Cartographers. I actually got to play it. So Smite, before we keep going, said if a game has a meeple, put it directly in the trash. So I got to play it, and I found out that it actually works well over like a Zoom call or a Skype call, because BGG has low print resolutions of the maps, 2 A's and 2 B's to fit on one piece of paper. And so we actually played it over the chat. I just showed the cards to everybody, and we went about our way, and it played quickly, and it played really well. It was a really chill game to play. So
yeah,
that was really neat. Another one that I got to the table, if you can kind of see it over my shoulder over on this side here, and that is the new Prospero Hall's Godzilla game. And I have to say, that is Prospero Hall's answer, as our friend said, to... Restorations Unmatched, where, yeah, Prospero Hall has the Funkoverse games. Sure. Where this one, it's like you got that tactical play where you're playing on a map and you're playing cards out to play the game out. And it's called, I think, Godzilla Tokyo Clash. You have four monsters in the box. You got Godzilla, King Ghidorah, Megalon, and Mothra are the four monsters. Is the Clash Card Godzilla game any good? I enjoyed it. I really did. Spine was asking if it was a good game, and I really enjoyed it. I had fun. It was a good tactical game. I've only played it with two people. I want to see it how it plays scaled up and stuff like that, but it was actually fun that you're able to throw vehicles, you're able to throw other kaiju, destroy buildings to gain some energy and stuff like that, using and it actually feels thematic too, because you're using the special powers that you see him in the movies, like King Ghidorah bites with three heads and Godzilla sends out like toxic or the nuclear ray that he has, the blue ray. So it's actually a really fun game.
That's cool.
Yeah, so I don't know anything about that one. Yeah, that one looks good, but there's another game based off, I think it's called the Card Clash System or something like that, but I've never seen it out. Yeah, I don't know anything about that one. I just saw the one at the Target recently, and I was like, ooh, that looks fun. And we did a board game breakdown at Prospero Hall, and I was like, okay, I might have to have a dudes on a map fighting it out kind of game.
Yeah, you will. And it's about time you got one. No.
Because we had one. Well, I got before. Rising Sun down there. It just hardly ever gets to the table.
That's true. That's true. Rising Sun seems really fun, but yeah, I haven't gotten it to the table either. I ever. I mean, I don't own it, so of course I don't get it to the table, but I haven't played it yet. Yeah, me.
So before I keep going on and on, is there any games that you got to that sure. you enjoyed?
We'll talk about our Saturday games here in a bit, because there was a lot of new stuff for both of us. But, yeah, other than that, I have played Between Two Cities, finally. You can see the live playthrough. I quite enjoyed it. I thought it was really fun. Me and my son have been playing Toy Story Obstacle and Adventures the past few days. And we play it every single day as best as we can. And yesterday was adventure number 5. And oh boy, did it hand our rears to us. It destroyed. It wasn't even close. Now, Daniel, how far have you played Harry Potter Hogwarts Battle?
We're done with the base set. We're on the Monster Book of Madness missions. That's okay. As far as we've gotten. But of course, lockdown happened, so the group that we were playing with, they're being extra cautious because, one, they have two very young kids, and two, one of them is immunocompromised. So they're being very cautious. So that's the ones we play a lot of games over Zoom with. So
okay. The reason I ask is because I've played the entire base game of Harry Potter Hogwarts Battle. And even though I like the Toy Story theme better, after about halfway, it becomes a very different game. The new stuff that Adventure 4 and 5 have added in, which I'm not going to give any spoilers or anything. It's fantastic. It's been very enjoyable, very difficult, but it adds whole new wrinkles into the system that I haven't seen before. Maybe the monsters add those in. I haven't seen those yet, but yeah, we have some really cool stuff going into this adventure, and we only have one more after this, after we beat it, hopefully soon.
Hopefully today. Yeah, so I dig the Harry Potter game. I did play that one once. When you first got it, you and me played it just to see how it worked. I did enjoy it. For me personally, I think I like the Harry Potter theme a lot more, even though issues with the author.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just digging a hole right now. But, I mean, because I never liked Harry Potter in the first place.
You don't like anything good.
I've gotten a lot nicer about my opinion on Harry Potter. I'm willing to play a game if that gets a game to my table. You know what I mean? Like that. Actually, like that new one, the new Harry Potter, the competition.
The House Cup one?
Yeah, House Cup. That looks cool. You know?
Harry Potter has the dumbest ending.
Oh, how does it end? No, I'm just kidding. Don't for our viewers at home, don't spoil it. But yeah, those are the other ones that I've been playing. But now let's talk about Saturday.
All right, so I did kind of mention one of the games that we played on Saturday was the Godzilla Tokyo Clash.
Yep.
But man, oh man, did we play. The most powerful winds up being like an insurance salesman. How exciting. So There was a quite a few games on my list that were surprising. Some of them I played before. We finally got to play Pitch Car.
Yes.
That was something. I really enjoyed that one. Mm-hmm. I was also really hungry, so I was trying to get it over with before I can eat my tacos. I know.
You were eating a taco and then like flicking a disc, you know. That was good fun.
Yeah.
Pitch Car was fun.
Popped out on your list that you enjoyed?
So the ones that I hadn't played yet was Everdell. We'll briefly go through them.
Oh, I actually forgot to put that on my. Oh no, there it is. Okay.
Yeah,
there was a lot of games going on.
We'll go in order actually. So Pitch Car was the first one. Then Archaeology.
First one, yeah.
I like Archaeology a lot, but you got Shining off of your shelf of shame.
Yeah. So there was two games that you had to step out for that I played. One was the Tokyo Clash.
Yep.
The other one was the Back to the Future Back in Time game again. Our mutual friend wanted to play that one. Still lost, but still enjoyed the mess out of that one. I really do dig. And that's why it makes me hesitant with that other one that Ravensburger came out with, The Get, because that one really does feel like Back to the Future.
Yeah. Yeah, that one's really fun. I enjoy that. But so what did you think of Shining?
I really enjoy Shining. It's probably one of the more simpler Prospero Hall games out there.
Yeah.
Because you're basically just trying to survive all it is and being smart about how you manipulate things and not go crazy and stuff like that.
This one,
I think the two that I've played that both simple, you've made this comparison, was mm-hmm. Kenny G's Keeping It Sexy
yeah.
and Prospero, The Shining. I think I like The Shining more just because the art's really
oh,
nice.
Yeah.
Honestly, you could reskin this with anything and it would still work, but I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. No, Keeping It Sexy it's funny. The Kenny G board game, it's funny as to what it's trying to do, but yeah, it's if you're looking for anything somewhat
difficult. Oh, The Shining, I'm pointing at it because it's right above my shoulder, so it's right there.
Yeah, yeah. So, but yeah, I'm not going to keep Keeping It Sexy. I am going to keep my Shining copy, which is just a couple of spots over. So, yeah. Then we played Around the World in 80 Days, which
was my surprise. Honestly,
yeah,
because it's such an older game. It's just a reprint of an old game. And
yeah, from 1979.
I was like, I'm not a huge fan of racing games. Not a huge fan of them. I think I like one, and we'll be talking about that next week. Is Exceptions to the Rules for the next discussion podcast? Chits and Giggles. Couldn't think of the name. I came up with it.
Yeah. Right.
But yeah, no, I dug really well out of that game. It was fun. I like the way you manipulate things.
Yeah.
And I almost won.
Yeah, I barely just jumped ahead of you like right at the end.
I just needed a little bit more cash. I got the cash and I was ready to make that jump and then you're like, nope.
Yep, nope. And then we went on to Abandon All Artichokes as a two-player game. Quick little simple by Emma Ladd, I think her name is. I forget the name of the designer. But this is one of our newest games, Abandon All Artichokes, deck building, kind of, from...
Yeah, kind of.
From
I did actually enjoy that game. That was actually another one of the surprises, like Around the World in 80 Days, that was a big surprise for me, because I'm like, really? Really? And then I just should just, like, game right, small card game, I should enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they hit it almost every time. Then we played Gizmos, and so... You got pretty upset with me because of how much I kind of like steamrolled you.
So I was thinking about it, and I figured out my issue with Gizmos and why I don't think it would replace Potion Explosions like some people says.
Sure.
If Gizmos had the same ability where there's a couple lines coming out instead of just the one line, it would make more sense as a two-player game. It's really, really lucky as a two-player game. Monopoly Go deserves more love. I'd rather play that over the board game 99.9.5% of the time. So that's the card game, right? The Monopoly Go?
Yeah, I think that's the one that comes in it used to come in like the little circular thing.
Yeah. I remember playing that one. That was actually not bad.
Cool.
But yeah, with Gizmos, I just think it's like, so I'm trying to build up my engine, I'm trying to get my stuff, and I take the cards that I need to get to take up, but then you keep taking all the exact marbles, and they would only come up after I had to take the other marble I needed. And so that was bothersome. I think it would be better with 3 to 4 people, 3 to 4 people to recycle the thing.
Right.
This way you could still build your engine. When it's two players, I'm beholden to the luck of what's coming out of the tube.
Yeah, that's
because I can't even get my engine going until I get the things that I need to fire.
So our next group that we play it with, we'll have a lot more then. And then we went on to Everdell, which was the new one for me. And now that one is... Everdell has been one of those ones that a lot of people should have on their list of, like, engine building. And we've had, like, that we were going to do these in our debates, but we just couldn't because I had never played it.
Yeah.
I'm impressed. I like it. This beat out Terraforming Mars for me as far as engine building. It doesn't beat out, like, something like Gizmos for me personally, but just because of, like, just how much there is going on in it, I feel like there is some random in it, but I feel like it's not streamlined enough, in my opinion. Like, there's a lot of modular stuff that doesn't need to be modular. They're modular for the sake of being modular. And that seems artificial as far as replay value. But that's a minor quibble considering I actually really enjoyed it. And we had a blast. And I think I don't remember. I beat you, but that doesn't matter.
That's not saying anything. I didn't win a single game all weekend.
That's true. But then we went on to the game on fire. And man, you were like stuck in your ground before I just said, you know what, just cut me slack, play one round. You'll see what I mean.
It's a horrible, horrible name. It's a horrible name.
Yeah. Yeah, he was mad that, like, as soon as I brought it out, because I get the comparison to the mind, like, at first, because...
but see, this is an actual game.
Yeah, but it's clearly the game, you know?
The game, that's why it's called the game.
Yeah, but I loved, like, right at the end of it, we're like, oh, we lost terribly. Shuffle it up, let's do it again.
Yeah, for me, I'll play this over the mine any day of the week. You know how I feel about the mine. For Prospero Hall, a small card game, I was very hesitant because there was only one other one that I've liked other than Silver and Gold that's over here on this other shelf. It's the other one that was like in the mine, but it's the colored one.
Oh, Illusion.
Illusion, yeah, yes. I did enjoy that one. But yeah, no, this is probably my favorite. I like the fact that you have two areas where you go up the ascending order and you have two areas where you go down the descending order and you're like, don't play there. Don't do it. Well, I got to play there. It's all I can play. Why did you jump at 20?
I know when you drop from you're descending from 80 and you had to put down a 40 something. It's like, oh, half of my hand is completely useless now. Congratulations. One. And then we played Santa Monica. Which I
enjoyed. I thought I won that one. I was doing actually really well. I mean, it was only like a 4 or 5 point difference, but you came back because your bottom row was just ridiculous.
Yeah. That was the only way. I focus on just the boardwalk part of it. But then
I compare it to walking in Burano because they have a lot of like, not a lot similar, but they. The whole tableau building and building a picture and stuff like that, or the similarities. I don't know. I liked it. I don't know how I would feel about it being a two-player game. I think I like Walking in Burano just for a two-player because it's such a smaller game and smaller footprint. Yep. However, I think I would like Santa Monica with more people.
That makes sense. And then we made a mistake right at the end of the night by both playing a game that was new to both of us. That was Yamatai. And it was already like 11:30 or something that we started Yamatai and learning how to play it and both being colorblind.
Oh, God. The colorblindness was annoying. The brown. Yeah. Seriously. If you're going to use red and you're going to use green, it do well with that. I could tell the red and the green apart. And then you're going to throw brown in there?
Yeah. You're going to throw brown in there. Exactly. It's like, oof. That was brutal.
Yeah, and then it didn't help matters that it was also 12 o'clock at night, and I was like,
"We were half asleep. All right,
I don't know why I agreed to this. I want to go to bed."
Yeah, right, exactly. It was funny. And then Smite has a question. You guys like play High Command. It's picked it up super cheap and only played the Rapid Fire card game version, and it wasn't that great. I have not played High Command. That sounds...
Nor have I.
Sounds interesting, but so... Let us know if it's fun, but we have not played it. So, yeah, that was most of the games that we've been playing recently.
There's only one more game that I played and that was the Choose Your Own Adventure Master of the Universe one, or the Evil Master.
Oh, okay.
Lost again royally. I mean,
oh, yeah.
We actually did better the second time around, but yeah, still lost.
Yeah. All right, so let's get into our discussion now. We asked on the Board Game Revolution group, a community group on Facebook, what are some games that don't get enough love? And I know a lot of people took it in different ways, so we'll kind of go through this. As always, we don't tend to read out the secondary comments that were posted afterwards, but yeah. We will read out the main comment, if it's appropriate, within levels.
Within
so,
reason, yeah.
Yeah, do you want to go first, or do you want me to?
Sure, I'll go first. Adrian says that after seeing a few threads in this group, Scythe. I get what he's saying. Board Game Revolution tends to be anti-Stonemaier games at times. I've been seeing a lot of Stonemaier hate in that thread, in their threads, and Scythe being one of them. But I agree with what I think it was Sean that said afterwards. Scythe does have a following, and that's true. Scythe is talked about a lot. And there's a reason why it's so high on BGG. I think it's, what, top 10? I think, no, it's 11 probably. Now. I think it just got pushed out, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like Scythe, of the people who play it and love it, really love it, and the people who are okay with it still, like, definitely hear everybody talk about it. I mean, the fact that we're still talking about it on a fairly regular basis, and it came out in, like, 2015, I think?
I think it was on Kickstarter in 2015. I think it got back to backers in 2016.
Yeah, I mean, that still says it. That's up there. That's awesome.
It's, what, 4 years old?
Right.
And it's his second. Stonemaier's second highest game, and he sold 300,000 units of that when we just talked with him. So mm-hmm. it's got a popularity and a following.
Yeah, exactly. And now, so real quick before we continue, I do want to say our intentions with this is we want to see some new games that we haven't heard of before, which goes into Peter's answer. He says my answer for this is always Nauticus. It is a Kramer and Kiesling design, which I love, that has never had a U.S. release. I've never heard of Nauticus.
But he said two things that make you go, what?
Yeah, Kramer and Kiesling. Hmm. Okay. So I'm going to write this down. Nauticus. And because, so I don't know how to swim, but like, I love nautical themes. I don't.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's something about nautical themes that I absolutely adore. And I have Nautilus, based on, 20,000 Leagues on my shelf of shame still, and I'm probably never going to get rid of it until I play it.
The one game I do want to play that has that's based off that theme is Nemo's War, the solo game. Mm-hmm. I've been wanting to play that one so much.
Yeah, I've been considering buying it too.
So Max added Vegas Showdown. That's a game I've heard of, but I don't know if I've ever played it.
Yeah, it just came off of a Kickstarter.
I've played Lords of Vegas, but I don't think I've ever played Vegas Showdown.
Oh, okay. Jazzer says Gloom, maybe?
It deserves all the hate. Sounds boring. I hate doing job games. Understandable.
Yeah, that's fair.
Right. Chaz says Unfair. That's one I've never heard of.
I believe Unfair... Oh, that's a good question. I thought that was... I was thinking the World's Fair, but yeah, I haven't heard of that one. Eric says, Hate?
So, I know it was a big box Kickstarter, and there was a while that it exploded, but it kind of died down, like on posts and stuff like that, people talking about it. Meet your friend of ours actually owns the game. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I would say it doesn't get enough love, but it's probably not one of the more popular CMON games. I think it came... around the same time the Cthulhu game came around, the Death May Die.
Yeah.
I can understand that. And Steven says, Dark Domains in Elysium.
Okay. Elysium.
Dark Domains I've never heard of. Elysium, I think it has a following.
Yeah, to a degree. I mean, I don't hear nearly as many people talking about it. That's for sure.
Yeah, but that's the issue with a lot of these games, and that includes my own on my list here, is just that there's so many games being pumped out that, yeah, there's going to be a little bit of hype at the beginning, and then everything's going to tailor off. It's going to take a very rare game to just keep the momentum steady.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Wingspan.
Yeah, exactly. Joshua adds Heaven and Ale, which, Heaven and Ale, that's a Kramer Kiesling game. I own it. It was sold to me by the owner of a board game cafe who said that it is that Heaven and Hell, I'll read that in a minute,
Yeah.
was his replacement for Castles of Burgundy. And so I was like, okay, wow. If Heaven and Hell replaced Castles of Burgundy for you, I gotta check this out. And so I bought it. I wouldn't replace Castles of Burgundy with it personally, but I see where he's going with it, and it does have a lot of cool things with it.
It's an interesting theme too on it that, kind of just painted on, but it is for most Euros, that's true. But it's an
Yeah.
interesting theme on it because it's basically about monks brewing beer.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely unique. And then Smite says Dark Domain has a 7.6 with these people. Or what do these people want? Jeez. Yeah, that's good. I didn't realize it was that high.
Yeah. Downfall of Pompeii was what Arnold was saying on his list here.
Okay. And Ryan said Blue Moon City.
The only reason I don't think it gets enough love is because it's so much older. So, and it's very rare to find it in print. I know they just recently had the CMON reprint of it within a couple years, but that was, even then, when I picked up my copy.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, Blue Moon City was fun. I liked it.
Yeah, it's my one Kinitia game that I have on my shelf.
Yep, that's the one. Hey, if you had to have one, that's a good one.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree. I've only played a few, so. Played Blue Moon, not bad. So, have you played Blue Moon or Blue Moon City? Because they're actually, from what I hear, completely different games.
All right, your turn.
No, it's your turn. I said Blue. Oh no, you said Blue Moon City. Here,
Aha.
Mike says
Checkmate.
Pirates of the Underdark.
Have not heard of this one. But a lot of people are saying, that they agree with him. But
Yeah.
I have not heard of it. Was that a Kickstarter? I bet, probably. That's funny. Smite said, well, City Blue Moon City sucks then because he hasn't played it. There you go.
Yeah,
I guess
so.
that makes sense. It's not
Yeah,
good if you haven't tried it.
I do enjoy it though. I dig the Blue Moon City. So, Tyrants of Underdark. I want to say I know what it is because I think they just had a Kickstarter. Yeah, I think the Kickstarter Merchants of the Underdark was based off Tyrants of the Underdark.
Oh, it's a deck builder. Absolutely underrated. But Dark Elf says, "Hey, Dark Elf, by the way, thanks for joining us." All right, Vin says Lords of Hellas. Icyon, Icaion, Icaion. I don't know how to say it. I know that was a Kickstarter though. Dungeonology and almost every two players or more board game I have, no one to play with.
Understandable.
Poor Vin. Yeah, we hear ya. We hear ya.
So, Lords of Hellas, I have. That's the only one out of this list I have played. I did enjoy it. I thought it was really cool. If it's the one I think it is, it's the one with the giant minis that you're building the statues of. That you came over when we were playing it at the shop, and you were like, "Holy crud, dude!"
Yeah, that was pretty impressive.
So yeah, Lords of Hellas I do like. Dungeonology and Akion?
Asayan, maybe?
I say
Asayan?
I don't know. I not familiar with that game. So some of these are some things I have to look up.
Yep.
Marcus says Windake. Deck building is probably my favorite thing in table. Well, sorry, Smite says deck building is probably my favorite thing in tabletop. I hate too many fiddly bits. Understandable.
Makes sense. All right,
Windake. Don't know anything about that one.
Gavin, speaking of deck building games, Cthulhu, the deck building game.
Another one that I don't particularly know.
Yeah.
So Chris says, and he's got a couple games on here. Vindication, which I don't know if it doesn't get enough love, because I see it a lot. I'm in like three different board game groups on Facebook, and I see people always posting about it and stuff like that. I know Tom Vassell raves about it on from time to time on Dice Tower stuff. So I don't know if it doesn't get enough love, but I could be wrong. The next one is Island of El Dorado,
Yeah.
Rome, and Glenmore Chronicles. Island of El Dorado, I've never played.
Neither have I. I have Quest for Eldorado, but I don't have Islands of Eldorado.
Rome, I actually enjoyed. That's a Ryan Lockett game.
Yep.
I think we played it.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, that's the
And
one where you're
yeah.
laying out the pieces in like a specific configuration based on your card and your angle to the board, right?
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, that one was cool. I liked it.
And so, and then also Glenmore Chronicles. Nothing that I haven't played. I've looked at. I almost backed the Kickstarter for the second edition.
Yeah, me too. It was hard not to. Brett said Edge of Darkness, which, speaking of Edge of Darkness, if you were here, joined us 2 days ago, we had John DeClaire talking about it the other day. And yeah, we asked him what game he thinks that he doesn't get enough love, and he said Mystic
Yeah.
Veil, which was
Mystic Veil,
interesting.
yeah.
Which was the kind of like his invention as an answer to Edge of Darkness for the time being. It was a really interesting interview. You should definitely check it out when it's uploaded.
Yeah, which will be Monday.
Yep. Cool.
So next up is, I think, is it, yeah, Giacomo. He says, Escape the Curse of the Temple and
Yes.
Spectre Ops.
I completely agree with
I don't
Escape.
think I've ever played Escape.
It's a cooperative Escape the Dungeon 10-minute game. All these games are over sevens with 200 comments. Come on, killing me. Wait till you get to my list.
Our list, yeah. Well, yeah, he's gonna be like the very. I'm gonna have some that are pretty high on the list. I'll explain why they're on my list. But yeah, Spectre Ops, however, I do really enjoy. I haven't got my copy of Fury of Dracula to the table because it's such a long game. Spectre Ops is actually a slimmed down version of Fury of Dracula.
And Smite, I feel like checkers has been talked about before. Maybe I've heard it from time to time. I think I was at a restaurant once and I saw some people playing it out front. It was really weird.
Yeah.
Karen says three games, one of which I'm not going to try and pronounce. I'll maybe Quest for Eldorado, which I completely agree with, but that was nominated for the Spiel.
Spiel. So I
So
think it got some love when it came out.
yeah, it did. But her second one, completely agree with Gardens of Babylon, which I'm going to give a shout out. Local representation. Gardens of Babylon is from Cackleberry Games, from our
Our
hometown.
city. Yeah.
Yes, so absolutely shout out to Gardens of Babylon. It has a really neat tile cascading thing going on. It's
Yeah.
super cool. And then the other one, do you want to try pronouncing this?
Well, I can tell you what the translated means. It's Bohemian Villages.
Oh, Bohemian Villages. Oh,
It's
okay.
Bolshevi
Okay. Yeah, Bohemian Villages. Yeah, I've seen this one from Tasty Minstrel from time to time on sale, and I've been considering it.
So, Kyle says Megaland. And I have to say, I have to agree with him on that one.
Okay.
Megaland just kind of
Ryan
came into
Lockett also.
Target and then kind of disappeared. And outside of like a couple friends who own it, you never see it at the table. And it's a really fun push your luck game.
Yeah. Tolan says Captain Sonar, which I know a lot of people have heard about it, but I do agree with him on to a degree that it has not been played by enough people because you need a very specific setting to get the full experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Craig says Samurai Brothers because they haven't launched yet. He's interesting art that he put on here.
Yeah. I think that's a funny comment. Yeah, we haven't launched it yet, so it doesn't get enough love. I completely agree. If we're going down that same path, I'm going to give a shout out to my friend Claire's Design Cobble too. That hasn't been released yet, and it's an amazing game. Daniel says, representing Daniel, woo, Yamatai. I can see
Before
why.
Brutal Cathala game, I can see it not getting a lot of love.
I like this better than that one, Ishtar. The one that we played, the other Cathala.
Yeah, I'll have to say I do like this more than Ishtar. I had fun playing it.
Yeah, I can see the
Not colorblind
comparison.
friendly, but yeah.
No. Shout out to the game in
Shout
my
out to the game
mind.
in my mind.
There you go.
But for a Days of Wonder game, yeah, I don't think it got a really a lot of love. It kind of came and then fell off the map. Whereas I think like what's it called, the Moncala one, Five Tribes. That actually lasted a lot longer, and you still hear more about Five Tribes than you do about Yamatai.
Right. As far as like Days of Wonder, if I had to pick one, it would be this one right here, Quadropolis. Like, I don't think that gets nearly as much love as even Yamatai did, because Yamatai felt like it was coming off of the, or like had the hype built up because of
Because
Five
of
Tribes.
Five Tribes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but Quadropolis, it was like, hey, everybody try this Quadropolis game. Anybody who played it, they're like, yeah, this is really cool, and then stop talking about it entirely.
Yeah. So, I think it's your turn?
Nope, but okay. Will says Shadowrun Crossfire. Which,
I play Dragonfire.
Yep. I would gladly play Shadowrun Crossfire now, having played Dragonfire.
Chris says, Master of Wills, a small publisher, great game. Haven't played it? Can look into it.
Yep, we'll look into it, for sure. Andrea says Dreamwell. That was an interesting little puzzle game. Very difficult for colorblind people, though. Race to the North Pole. I met the designers of this. There was an app recently. Have you heard of the app called Dized? D-I-Z-E-D.
I've seen it, haven't looked at it.
Right. It's an instructional app. The designers of Race for the North Pole created this. They're from, I think, the Netherlands or one of the Nordic countries. I've had the chance to meet them and chat with them a few times at Gamma. Super cool guys. Very fun.
So Smite says Shadowrun is pretty decent. Yep. Yeah, we played the Dragonfire version. Haven't played the Shadowrun version.
Yeah.
So, and then they had one more game on the
list. Yeah, and Cortex, which I don't know anything about, but it has a QU at the beginning.
So I was
going to
say,
so
it's kind of probably an abstract strategy game.
Well, if it was made,
that goes with like Corridors and,
yeah, if it was made by Gigamic, Corridor, you know, Quarto, all of those, I would have heard about it. But now I'm going to Google it, because Cortex sounds
maybe it's
cool.
One that just kind of slipped through your fingers.
Maybe. Might have been.
So Bill says, one of the games that's on my list that I might pick up here soon, and that's Blackout Hong Kong.
Mm-hmm.
It gets put on discount shelves all the time. He got it for $15 because it wasn't Great Western Trail Redux, or Redo. And the art wasn't the best. It has enough interesting mechanics that I don't see it leaving my collection anytime soon. Alexander Pfister games are on my radar. Everybody's raving about them. And Great Western Trail is something I do want to pick up. I just haven't. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to find now. Next on his list is Euphoria. He says it's probably his favorite Stonemaier game. The theme ties in nicely with the worker knowledge mechanic and is a really nice twist on the worker placement. I really like it as a step above Gateway game. And that's the one Stonemaier game that isn't a re-implementation that I have not played.
Right.
Next on the list here, he has Gugong. Doesn't seem to get much love, but it's pretty solid for its weight and length. And the last one he added was Battle for Rokugan. I really wish this would get an expansion, but I think it's a dead product. It has some small balance issues, but it does so much so well, especially given its short playtime.
Smite said, yeah, looking at the board looking boring. Yeah, Blackout Hong Kong, it does look really boring. It's an awesome, interesting theme.
And it's got a bunch of cubes. We'll see. Really all it is, but yeah.
Yeah. I remember the reason it put me off a little bit is because it didn't look very colorblind friendly at all. But maybe I'm wrong. Don says Whistle Stop from Bezier Games. Yeah, I agree with that. I haven't played it, but I haven't had an opportunity to play it. I don't think anybody that we know of owns it. I may be wrong.
No, I don't think so. Yeah, I haven't played it. It's been on my radar. I just haven't picked it up. It's not something, I think it's a roll and write if I remember correctly.
No, Whistle Stop is the one with the hexagonal tiles where you're connecting.
Oh, okay, so there is a roll and write based off of that, but
I think so, yeah.
Warp Gate. Rick says Warp Gate, Game Books, and Dungeon Alliance. I don't know any of those games.
I've heard of Warp Gate. I think Warp Gate, if I'm not mistaken, was originally a Game Crafter game. And I've seen it. It looks pretty cool. Eric says Imaginarium by Bruno Cathala, which when we did our Bruno Cathala board game breakdown, that one did look interesting. I love the theme and the aesthetics of it. The art is amazing.
Andrew says a game that we just recently played and I think was already mentioned before, yep. Yamatai.
Yamatai, yep, absolutely. Sean says Luxor and Tobago. Or Tobago.
Two games I'm not familiar with.
Look, I'm familiar with both of them. They both look really fun. I've been thinking about buying Tobago, whatever it is. It does look really neat.
Tomato, tomato, whatever.
Right.
So Alexandre says one that's already been mentioned, Elysium. And yep. The next one here is The Networks. I have heard of The Networks. I haven't looked too deep into it, but mm-hmm. it's something to look into.
Yeah, Gil Hova. The idea behind The Networks is basically you're just trying to get like the best syndication, the best shows, and the best TV station overall. It's kind of neat.
Oh, all right. We're trying to get through this.
Yeah, we're going. We're going, right? Networks is super fun, well worth a play. Awesome, Dark Elf. We will try it then.
Yeah, we'll have to try it then.
Tim says Endure the Stars 1.5. Never heard of that one.
Nope. So next up is Mark. I published Wreck and Ruin last year. Got good reviews and has a BGG rating of 8.2, but not enough people know it exists.
Well, now they do. Hopefully our shout-out will help you out. Wreck and Ruin. All right. I'll look at that. All right. Here we go. And then Mark says, Endangered was his toughest Kickstarter campaign. A struggle at every step. Hopefully the new species expansion will thrive. I hope so, too.
Yeah.
I heard about Endangered.
This is what I'm going to look into.
Yeah. It seems cool. It's a wonderful theme. Mark, I hope you the best in luck on your next one.
Yep. So next on our list here, Sven says Crusader Kings. That's the Tasty Minstrel, correct?
Crusader Kings is, with Seth Jaffe as the designer. Absolutely awesome game.
Next up on his list here is Nightmare Chest.
Yes, completely agree. Steve Jackson Games.
King Domino.
Won the Spiel. Does
yeah,
that mean
more?
Yeah,
I was going to say, got enough love there. Kingsburg.
Yes, I can agree with that.
I think Kingsburg does get love. I think it's more along the, it's either you love it or you hate it style game. There's no sure. in-between with it.
Yeah.
Dice City. Moving on, Neo Bunnies. And Zverekit.
Zverekit, okay. I've not heard of either of those bottom two, but I completely agree with Crusader Kings, Nightmare Chess. I think the more... If more people tried Crusader Kings, people would fall in love with it. It's really good. Alright. Jarno says, Risk and Monopoly. Not saying they're great games design-wise, but the truth is most of us grew up playing either both of these and probably sparked the initial interest in board games. That's a good reasoning.
That's a good point. I liked Risk more than Monopoly growing up.
Yeah. They get more hate, for sure. Than love. I can see where he's going with that, though.
Yep. Omar says, Beyond the Gates of Antares Dice Game, a small box but surprisingly fun and based on Warlord's War Game. I'd also say Godfather's Corleone Empire is not getting enough credit. It's a great game which is simple to teach and learn, and it has a lot of fun, suits the theme, and it has quite a few nifty mechanics. So I don't know about the Beyond the Gates of Antares Dice Game. But Godfather Corleone is on my radar. I do want to pick up a copy of this. Just haven't pulled the trigger on it. Because, one, I love the Godfather movies. I own all of them. And I like that theme. And it's a worker placement with some other stuff going on in it.
Yeah, I agree with Omar. I think he's right with saying it doesn't get enough. Because the kind of people who are really into Godfather and the cinephiles, you know, they're not going to be into like a somewhat heavier game. And it's not like a heavy game. It's actually a really light worker placement, but that's already difficult.
I don't know. I consider myself a pretty decent cinephile. I own a lot of movies. I watch a lot of movies.
But you also play games, though.
But I also play games, yeah.
Like my dad, who would like this movie, probably would never touch the board game.
Okay, yeah.
And then Smite brought up the gamer versions of Monopoly. Yeah, they do play much faster, which is awesome. Kevin says, so freaking many. Agreed.
Agreed. Vinny says, Ethnos.
Ethnos. David says, Key Largo.
I'm trying not to do it. Trying not to do the song.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, man, I was trolling you all weekend with that.
I know.
We want to go to Jamaica. Huh? You mean Karuba, Jamaica? Yeah.
Rococo. I've heard of it, never played it.
Yep. It's about fashion about being like wearing the right fashions to like a party. It looks really cool.
Yep.
I have the cover memorized though. I know exactly what that cover looks like. Katia She's one of the admins there. I just forgive me. I don't remember how to pronounce your name. Otis.
This one that is one on my radar. Cool. A mutual friend of ours actually owns it. I do want to try it.
Yeah.
And so Johan sends us a picture and says this, which I believe that is Vindication.
Yeah. there's a wonderful gif after that. Vindication, I've not played. Probably does.
Which, by the way, the show that gif is from is amazing.
Is that Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I thought so. I've never seen
the show. That's the best character on Brooklyn Nine-Nine, too. That's Captain Holt.
Okay. Justin says Duel of Ages 2.
I haven't even played any of the Duel of Ages games. I know of them, but I haven't played them. Sebastian says Runebound 3rd Edition.
Okay.
Another game I haven't played. I know of it.
Yep. Jason says Firefly. I couldn't agree more. It got me into the show. That says something. That means that gamers would cross the paths of Firefly fans as far as, you know,
if you like the game.
Coming into the hobby. Yeah. I mean, if you
see,
like
the game. I was a fan of the show, and to me, the game has the space part of it right, but that's only a third of what the show does, so that's my issue with
it. Yeah, exactly. I don't disagree with you. I think you liked it less because you already liked the show. But the fact that I didn't like the show at all, and or I didn't know anything about the show, and then I did it. It looks like I might have lost Daniel here for a minute. So I apologize if it's frozen on this end. It looks like it is. So we're going to take a very quick break, finish up these notes. So we're still going to be on stream, so just hang out with us for a few moments, okay? We are back recording after that very quick break. Sorry about that, everybody.
Yeah, technical issues.
Yep, it wouldn't be an episode. It would not be one of our episodes if we did not have to troubleshoot at least a little bit.
Comcast!
For once, it was your end and not mine. Normally, mine is the one that's iffy.
Ithri, yeah, I don't know why it went down, but...
During our break, Ithri is also saying that he's trying to narrow down his Japanese games list for suggestions for the podcast, so we'll look forward to those.
Jorge, I think we left off on Firefly.
Yeah, Firefly. We're talking about Firefly. I got my last point in. I don't know if you had anything else to say, but...
No, like I said, it misses a third of it and stuff like that.
Jorge says, Coloretto, and I completely agree with that. You know, Daniel, you didn't like Zuloretto, did you?
No, I didn't mind Zuloretto at all. My wife hated Zuloretto.
I wonder what your thoughts would be on Coloretto then, because it's just a card game, and you're sorting it out similar drafting to Zuloretto, and you basically only score, like, I think your top three.
Somebody says he's a pretty casual gamer. I tried the more to-do games, just not for meeples. Worker placement, who got the most sheep wins? Bah.
That's fair.
Nuno Santos says, Viral. And I have to agree with him on this one. Mm-hmm. Viral was actually a fun game when I played it at Dice Tower West in 2019. And I could see why he was in their essential line. It's actually quite a fun game.
Yep. Yeah, I haven't tried it yet, and I've always wanted to. That was the very first... Dice Tower Essential game I didn't play, which was a shame. Al says Cupcake Empire and provides us with the Board Game Geek
page. Yeah, so I've never seen that one before, but yeah, looks pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm going to skip the next one and go to the last one. Jace says Machina Arcana. It just isn't widely known and spoken of as I feel it deserves to be.
Yeah. I'll briefly talk about Michael's post real quick. He posted an episode for... We didn't have time to listen to it, but he posted... I guess he has a podcast as well called The Lone Star Meeple. Their episode 5 talks about this as well. So, I mean, repping that. And if you've heard about him, come check ours too. Cool. All right.
Sounds good.
All right.
Ready to get into this list before, you know, I have more internet problems? I don't know what the heck happened there.
Well, my first question for you is, were any of yours named... None of mine were honorable mentions.
None of mine were named, in a sense.
Huh, okay. None of them were named. Okay, so would you like to go first? Let's talk about some honorable mentions and why they didn't quite make our list.
So yes, my first honorable mention is the highest game rating on BGG that I have on my list, and that's why it's an honorable mention.
Okay.
But you actually mentioned it.
Okay, I go ahead.
And that is Quadropolis. And
Quadropolis. Yeah.
so I go around, and the reason why I have this, it's rated 321 on BGG. That's where its ranking is. And the reason why I say this one doesn't get enough love because it came out around the same area of Suburbia, and I think Suburbia just kind of buried Quadropolis, especially when it comes to like a Days of Wonder game. The production value of this one is beautiful. I like the way it works. You're building and you're trying to compound the tiles in the right places and stuff like that. And even though it's highly rated, I just think it got lost in the shuffle when it came because of Suburbia.
Right. I completely agree with you. Yeah, I mean, Quadropolis is a phenomenal game, and it I own both that and Suburbia, and I both love them. But you're right. It nobody talks about Quadropolis. I don't even think it's in print anymore, which is a shame. Ithri gave us his top three real quick. One is called Sheep and Sheep, which I know I've looked at before. The second one is L Tiles and Sheep Match. So two sheep games. And what about L tiles? I mean, I wouldn't have been sold on those names, but I trust that they were that's because they were translated. And he provided his Board Game Geek list for each of those. So Ithri, if you want to explain why you like each of those, we'll give him a shout out.
And Smite, thanks for joining us and thank you for the follow. If you go to our Twitter page, if you have a Twitter, it's EVG Podcast 2020. It'll have a link to our YouTube as well as our Podbean accounts.
Okay, very cool. And he's giving a shout out for his YouTube channel, RRR, DC Deck Building Rules. Cool. Thanks again, Smite. We appreciate you joining us. And thanks for following us. We really do appreciate it. And check in later and you'll see our list on YouTube, and then you'll see the announcement that I was alluding to during our quick break.
Oh God. Oh God.
So my first honorable mention, I feel doesn't get enough love anymore, unfortunately. It did get love when it first came out in 1965. And because it was very controversial at the time, it was very tongue in cheek, but it was controversial at the time. And that's Nuclear War. The reason why I feel, and this is why this is on my honorable mention, Random Rick Reviews. Okay, cool. All right.
Just one. Oh, I give me a second here. I will grab the link for you.
Okay, cool. And then I'll be talking about Nuclear War while we're doing this. Yeah, the reason it's on my honorable mention list is because Nuclear War, the designer of it was one of the main people at Origins, and every year always had at Origins and Gamma had a presence, at least had one booth, and would show off the new Nuclear War products. I mean, granted, it'd be like every 10 years that a new title would come along, but they were really fun. That we've said this before. That was back in the day before games were good. They were just meant to be fun, and it was a silly game. I do feel bad that my friend got eliminated before his first turn and then sat and watched everybody else do
I'm
it.
not, because I'm the one that did
You were the one? Oh man, so you're the reason he won't play it with me ever again. And I get why people don't like it. I totally understand that. But I mean, I adore that game. It's really good. I've always enjoyed it. It's good if you want to just have a simple card game and hang around with your friends and just cause shenanigans. It's a good one.
Sorry, things are running a little slow. I'm trying to get that link here.
Smite said that he did find it. So,
Okay, sounds good.
but you can go ahead and post it anyway if you'd like.
Yep. Just trying to get it loaded up here. And there we go.
No worries. So that was my number third honorable mention, or one of my honorable mentions. And we try to keep the honorable mentions down to
Three. Basically
three.
six games apiece.
Yeah. Although one that I took off the list, and I'll let our viewers at home know, was the Tomb Raider collectible card game. And I had good nostalgia for it. One to two players, cooperative, delving in a dungeon. It had some cool stuff going in it that I hadn't seen before, but I don't remember how much of it is nostalgia. So, there you go. Daniel, what's yours next one?
My next one on my list here is sitting at 954. No, we have six games in total, three honorable mentions and three regular games. And so the reason why this is on my list here is because my game group doesn't like it. And I love this game, and that is Paper Tales. I thought it was a nice little quick, simple drafting game. I really enjoy it.
Yeah, simple drafting game.
And so I really enjoy it. I know you're not a huge fan of it. I think you actually are getting rid of your copy or have gotten rid of your copy.
I'm going to be, yeah. I haven't gotten rid of it yet. I still have it because I was going to get rid of it right around the lockdown time. I mean, it doesn't do anything different that Seven Wonders does in my... there's a couple little things, but that ends up slowing it down.
That's true. It doesn't really do anything different than Seven Wonders does, but it does it better than Seven Wonders does, in my opinion.
Yeah, and that's just up to opinion. I don't think it does it better than Seven Wonders, and I didn't care for Seven Wonders in the first place.
And the thing is with Seven Wonders, and here's my issue why I think Paper Tales does it better.
Okay.
Seven Wonders overstays its welcome. Paper Tales, three rounds, you're done.
I even those three rounds just seem too long for me.
But I really enjoy it. I love the solo play if you got the expansion with it, and I was lucky able to pick that up in the expansion at the same time. I love the solo play rules of it. I think it plays really well. I love the art. It's quite different. It kind of reminds me of I'm trying to think of the game. It's got Sackboy in it on the PlayStation, but it kind of reminds me of that artwork or Paper Mario style. Sure. I really do dig it. It's got really good art, and it's probably one of Stronghold Games' prettiest games.
There you go. So Ithri said, Sheep and Sheep is a super elegant set collection tile placement game where you play the sheep into a pasture from the farm row. That sounds cool. I mean, Between Two Cities is a fun little drafting game where the tile placement matters. That sounds fun.
Yeah.
L Tiles is another elegant game where you can play Tetromino in certain configurations, but you also have...
You all play on the same grid.
You all play on the same grid, so it affects other players. That's something I haven't seen before. Polyomino on the same map too much.
Yeah.
And Sheep Match is just my favorite storytelling game. On turn, you play at least two cards and make a story. If the story makes sense to the other players, you lose those cards and don't draw back more. So you're incentivized to play a ton of cards and make a really long, dumb story. Okay, that makes sense. I don't know if I would like it, but yeah. I'm just not a storytelling fan. And I don't know if that would sell on it. But that sounds interesting to tell a long story. How does that turn into a game? I mean, I know it's an activity, but like how does the game itself? Oh, okay.
First out of hand wins. Okay.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
Yep.
Okay, cool. My next one is my lowest rated game out of all these, ranked number 6,861. And it just came out a couple years ago. And that's Senshi by Arcane Wonders. Senshi, it flew under a lot of people's radar. It had the same art style as Onitama, but it was a very different game. And basically, you just have stacks of tokens that are different colors. You pick up the tokens. You're either taking the top of any stack, or you're trying to trade or train in certain ones where if you play like a red one, everybody can play a red one from your hand of cards. And you're just trying to play them to the most opportune spots. And whoever has the highest, lowest stack wins. Meaning, if you're a samurai and you're competing to... You want to be well-rounded. You don't want to just focus on strength and be dumb and ignore wisdom, right? You want to have the best well-rounded. So you take your lowest stack and then that wins. However, if you're too egocentric... And I think if you have, like, the highest one, the highest total number of tokens or something, you're eliminated. There's some other weird, like, little caveat to that. So it's the second highest. It's really neat. I think it needs more love. I don't think enough people have played it because they might have been expecting something like Onitama, which is a very different game, but they went with that exact same art aesthetic. And I think that was a detriment to that. So Senshi...
That's funny. So, you know how you were talking about your Tomb Raider game and stuff like that?
Yeah.
There was a game on that I wanted to put on the list, but I didn't because it's a Stonemaier game. it's a Stonemaier game. It gets a lot of love. And that, of course, is the one we played the live playthrough of Between Two Cities. I think that's probably not one of his more talked about games. I did enjoy it. But the one that's actually on my list here is one of the first ones I thought of. And it's simple for the fact that because I never even heard of it till I saw it and it was on deal. And then you're like, oh, no, that's a really good game. So I ended up buying it. Well, we played it, and I really dug it. And that is Pioneer Days.
Oh, yeah, Pioneer Days. That did fly under a lot of radar.
Yeah, it flew under the radar. I was able to pick it up on Miniature Market for like $20. And I have to say, it was one of the best $20 I've ever spent. I really enjoy the game. I have a good time with it. I love the way it's like, okay, I can take this dice, but we got to be careful because I'm trying to force you guys to take that other dice or bad things are going to happen. And yeah. I do love that mechanism in it. It's really fun. And we talk about it a lot, but this is a game that doesn't overstay its welcome. It ends pretty quickly. It plays in a few rounds and you have a good time with it. And I really enjoy it. And it's ranked 1200 on BoardGameGeek.
There you go. I was curious. I just checked Tomb Raider. It's rated 9,415. Oof. All right. I wasn't expecting it much else other than that, though. All right. And my last honorable mention that I wanted to bring up was it's a game that I feel implements the theme really well, but it is a re-implementation of a game that is getting quite a bit of love. And a lot of people know about it. It's an IP that fits it incredibly well. It's a Game of Thrones game. Do you already know what it is?
It's the Cosmic Encounter re-theme of Game of Thrones. The Iron Throne, I think it's what it's
called. Game of Thrones, Iron Throne. Yes. It's a fantastic game. And I get the reason it's on my honorable mention, and I won't belabor it too much, is because Cosmic Encounter is getting a lot of love, and it still has since the 70s. So if you like Cosmic Encounter and you like Game of Thrones, that's a gimme. You need to try it.
Yeah, so I honestly do enjoy Cosmic Encounters. It's not the end-all, be-all like it is for some people for me. I think I would like – I haven't played it yet, but I think I would like the Game of Thrones version because I am a fan of the books. I'm a fan of the TV show, except for the last season was a little iffy for me.
Yeah.
The last two, really. But I am a really fan of the books and the show, so.
What makes it really cool is that the Iron Throne, it isn't just a reskin. It does do some stuff very differently. And who's like in the head of your house. That's not normally a thing that happens in Cosmic Encounter. So let's get to our list.
Okay. So since you're more of the obscure obtuse guy, I'm gonna go ahead and start.
Alright, sounds good.
So my number three game, and so I gave you the ratings that for my honorable mentions with the highest to the lowest. This one I'm actually going to talk about the games that I personally love more, even if they're higher rated than some of the other ones on my list here.
Okay.
My number three game on my list is one I don't think gets enough love, and to me it is the best small game, well, not really small, but best game to play with families and to play with a small group of cloud, a filler game, that's the word I'm looking for, 20-30 minute game, and that is Dragonwood. Dragonwood is sitting at 1,574 on BoardGameGeek as of an hour before recording.
Wow.
And so I think it's a really good game. It's a really quick game. Yeah, it's got a little luck base with the dice, and you're trying to – but you're also trying to do certain stuff with those dice. All the dice do is you add them up, and you roll as many as six or eight. I can't remember exactly what it is. And so you need to get and you're trying to do it with a set collection. So you're collecting cards. You're supposed to have one of one color allows you to do one thing. One of one number allows you to do another thing. Or things that are in a row allows you to do a third thing. And each monster is one set is easier than the other. And so I love the way it works because all you do when you get that dice, you play those cards. That's how many dice you get depending on how many cards you play in that row. And then you're trying to beat a certain number on a monster. So if it wants you to stomp a five, you may only want to use two dice, maybe three dice, just to guarantee a win. And then you add up the pips, and whatever wins, you get to keep that thing, and it's a trophy for you at the end of the game. Or some of those cards could be special powers. And the game ends when both dragons are defeated. And so I really, really do love this game. I find it to be one of the best filler games I own.
I think you're right. I think like outside of our shop, which I've shown it off countless times, and it always sells. I think it feels like I'm the only one pushing that game.
Yeah, and so. I think it deserves more love. Every time I see, like, someone says, hey, anybody know about this game? Should I pick it up to play with my kids? I tell them, hands down, your kids will love it. The art is really nice. There's actually a gamier version of it. What is it? Dragon Realm. That I do want to try, but I don't know if it will replace the love I have for Dragonwood.
It won't replace it. I can already tell you that right now, but it might. I gladly own both of them. Like, say Sushi Go and Sushi Go Party, I can get rid of Sushi Go if you have Party, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Even Sushi Roll, I'd probably get rid of Sushi Go. But the thing is, this is a totally different game. It's almost like worker placement. So my number one.
That was my
one,
number three, Dragonwood.
Even the designer has said that this game does not get enough love. And we have interviewed him. It is a cooperative game. Would you like to take a guess? It's one that I promote all the time.
So it's a designer we talk to who says he doesn't get enough love, that is a cooperative game.
Yep.
Let me think about this for a minute. Who we've interviewed.
Yep, you can take Kurt Covert out of the list because he's printing his very first one. Which, by the way, Night Cage is on Kickstarter as of yesterday.
As of yesterday, yep. So go check it out, see if you like it. So, is it Justin DeWitt?
Yes.
Let me think about what co-op. So, he
it
thinks
is
doesn't
not
get enough
Castle
love.
Panic.
Huh?
It is not Castle Panic.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of all his... Oh, is it the Hot Shots?
Yes, it is Hot Shots. Hot Shots, yeah, it's if you like Castle Panic, this is the next step up. It could be super mean. It's not a tower defense, but it is really thematic as to how firefighting works, like how the fire spreads around because of the wind, the embers are burning it down. It's an incredibly tense game, and it's one of the smartest cooperative games because it has push your luck dice rolling in a cooperative setting. Oh my goodness, is that cool. That is awesome.
I did enjoy
awesome.
It. I did enjoy it. I sold my copy because my wife didn't like it.
Which
that's
I get.
That's the only reason I don't. Yeah.
I totally understand that part.
Yeah, so it's a fun game. I enjoy it. I think it's a really good game. It's just my wife was like, nope, not going to play this. And I'm like, there's no point in me keeping it. You have a copy as well. So.
Right, exactly. And I get why a lot of people don't keep it, but it's just everybody who's played it that I've shown it to, they're like, man, this is cool, like maybe I'll buy it sometime, and then they never think about it again for some reason, and I don't know why that is, but this might be my second favorite game from Fireside. It's definitely up there, but that's Hot Shots.
Yeah, if you don't count Star Trek Panic, because the op did that one. Yeah,
even then I like this better than Star Trek Panic. Like,
nah.
This it's not much farther down, but it's Castle Panic and then this. Sorry, it
that's
is.
That's okay.
Yeah.
So, we're going on to number twos now, right?
Yes,
my
sir.
My number two, I don't see get played a lot. I don't see get love a lot. In fact, it is ranked 2,134, again, as an hour before filming. And that is a Bruno Cathala game. Surprisingly enough.
Okay.
And this one is Micropolis. I dig this game. And I actually was able to pick it up used at a game shop up in Tucson before, you know, all this started. I think at the beginning of this year.
Right.
God, it seems so long ago.
Somehow this year has made it seem like that was miles and
that
miles
was,
away.
Yeah.
Yeah,
years ago. But yeah, no, I picked it up, played it, and I thoroughly enjoy it. For Bruno Cathala small box games, and it's not really that small, but I think it's probably one of his best games and one of my favorites that Bruno Cathala did. I love the tile placement mechanic. I love the way you use the small world mechanic to get a tile that's further along, and then you're trying to build your tunnels in a certain way. That's where you can get all the fruit in there, as well as making sure there's only one queen within a tunnel. I love it. Probably, like I said, one of my favorite Bruno Cathala games on my list. And I just don't think it gets enough love because everybody's talking about like his Yamatais and his Five Tribes and stuff like that. And this one just kind of flew under the radar. And again, it's a Matigo game. And Matigo is starting to go more and more up on my list.
Yeah, for sure. I don't disagree with that. That sounds correct to me. Cool. My number two is a game designed by a board game reviewer. You're giving me that look like, huh? And no, I'm not talking about myself. I refuse to put my own games on these lists.
That and you're not a board game reviewer. You're a board game showcaser.
That's true, yeah, I guess so, huh? We don't technically review as much. I mean, a top 8 is kind of a review. But this is an
So it's not Tom Vassell's, correct?
No, it's not whatever that I forget that one that he made. Not Vicious Fishes either of his. but it's not the police one.
No, nothing personal. It's a
Nothing
small one, but
personal, yeah.
yeah. But I was just like, I'm trying to think. Rado, I don't think has done a board game, has he?
Nope, not
I
that I
know he
know
did
of.
video games. I actually was a fan of some of his video games.
Yeah, exactly. And this is an older reviewer. He was kind of like the first one to start video reviews.
Okay, well, I'm at a loss because.
So the designer's name is Scott Nicholson. And so he started doing board games with Scott, which I don't know if you've ever seen before. It's pretty entertaining, but he was kind of like the precursor to all of the other video reviewers.
I've heard of him, I just haven't looked at any of his old videos.
Yeah, his auction game, Going, Going, Gone, is one of the funnest, most chaotic auction games ever. Because what you do is you have five cups, you're going to be dealing out seven cards. Two of the cups have two cards, and three of the cups have one card. And so you're all going to be bidding. You have a set number of cubes, and you throw them into the cups. But you have 10 seconds to throw in the auction or throw in your cubes into the cups. One player plays with a paddle, holds it up over the cups, and then counts backward from 10. They can go as fast or slow as they want, as long as it's consistent. You can't just be like 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Click. And when they get down to zero, they slam down the board, and then the auctions are given out to whoever's bid the most. Okay? Makes
Okay.
sense, right? Fairly simple. What makes this absurd is the fact that everybody has at least one group of somebody who will be counting fast, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, and so you're just violently chucking cubes into it. You're gonna miss some of them, which is the point. Some of them might not even count at all. And you're able to sell the cards later on as sets for more cubes. But of course you want to outlast everybody else. So only on the auctions you don't win do you get your cubes back. So it's a brilliant game. It's really good. It plays really fast. It's only like 15 minutes. And it's just good cube chucking, insanity, auction, absurdity. And the components are really nice for it. It's made by Stronghold Games, and I can see why it doesn't get enough love, because anybody who likes real-time games or auction games will immediately discount this at all without ever giving it a try, which they really should try it. That's
Sounds
my
good.
number two.
So, moving on to number one. And I know for a fact you're not a fan of this game.
Nope, then it doesn't need more love then. On to the next. No.
It needs more love. I think, again, it's another one of those games, in a sense, that fell under the radar. I'm actually seeing it more coming up now than I did when it first came out. And I'm also one of the new people to it. I got it, I believe, Christmas is when I got it. And that is a Plat Hat game, Abomination, Heir to Frankenstein.
Sure.
I for worker placement with a dark theme. I love horror. I love dark themes. You don't see a lot of horror games come out there, and then to have good European or Euro mechanisms to it, I really enjoy. I like the fact that you can go dark and just straight out murder someone to get the body parts that you need in there quite fresh. I get why people have an issue with it because a big part of it is a bit luck based when you're trying to reanimate a body. But to me, that fits very thematically to it because you're trying to reanimate a body. You're trying to bring it back to life. So I get it. I know your issue with it is because you're basically forced to build a body to try to keep up with in the game. I
No, my
understand your.
that wasn't my issue necessarily. I'll go on to my issue after you're done.
But I and it's rated at 1,421 on BoardGameGeek. I forgot to mention that, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. And in fact, when I originally had this written down, it actually went up. So that's what I'm saying. It's starting to get more love now than
Right.
it did when it originally came out. And a big part of it too is that it flew under the radar because that was during the days of Plat Hat under Asmodee or Asmodee,
Sure.
whatever it's called. And so I think just because they're pumping out so many games, it just kind of skates out, because they're only going to pump out their big ones, like the Fantasy Flight games and stuff like that, and they're going to hype those up. Those are the ones they're going to try to make money off of. Yeah. And so their smaller companies don't give as much love as they should have been. And so I think Abomination is a really good worker placement if you like horror theme. You can't play with everyone. You can't play with kids with what's going on here. I think 13, 14 is probably a good age to play with them. But again, every child is different. I just highly recommend about 13, 14, because this is, if this was a movie, it'd probably be PG-13, if not rated R.
Yeah. Yeah, depending on how much they showed, right?
Yeah.
So here's my issue with it. And it wasn't, and I get why people like it. I get why people don't like it. I didn't care for it because of the fact that it was very obvious what you had to do. It never really let you stray off of what you needed to do. Like, you at the end of the game, you need to have the body, you need to have everything ready, and you gotta give that one final chuck roll or roll to see what animates. That's the whole game, and it's like a 2-hour experience that is all leading down the exact same path. I just imagine it's other than, like, it's slightly variable of, like, what parts you get, like, what you need to complete, but I feel like it's just that I don't feel like there's any variation there. And when I tried to do, when I found out that I was playing it wrong because I misunderstood one of the rules, which is on me, that's not part of the game. When I misunderstood that you needed a certain amount of, like, logic before, or, like, understanding that one dial before you can even make parts, and then I found out, oh, well, then all my stuff's going to be wasted anyway. I tried to see, it's like, all right, how can I dig myself out of this hole? And I tried other strategies, and you clearly can't do that. There's no way you're going to win. So that does end up boiling down to the dice roll at the end of the game. Who rolls better? Because you're all doing the same thing.
Yeah, well, I get that. I understand that. But the thing is, it's the marriage to the theme. You're making Frankenstein monsters, so...
Yeah, I get it. I just wish that there was more variable to it.
I get what you're saying, but my issue with that argument, again, is it's heir to Frankenstein. You're building bodies. That's the whole point. That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, but I feel like there's a way that you can make it less restrictive. Like make it more likely that the bodies will less decay. It shouldn't be down to that fine of a wire. You know what I mean? Like, it's super thematic. I love the theme, and I love the aesthetics, and I like horror movies. It makes perfect sense. I totally get everything that they decided to do with that. I just wish it was looser and I didn't feel as constrained while playing it.
And then it wouldn't feel as thematic. And again, we've talked about it. Less theme, more mechanics for you.
No. I just feel like it could have been done. It could have had more streamlining.
But I think it's a fine game. I think it works well. And to the fact that proved my point, it's actually growing. And a lot more people are getting into it now than when it originally came out.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, I mean, good pick. I don't disagree with it. I haven't heard anybody talk about it at all recently. So
yeah,
the first couple months, everywhere. But mine is my second oldest game on the list. Oldest game on the actual list, not including Nuclear War.
If the reason why they don't get love is because they're old.
So this one does get some love, and it's the highest rated out of mine. It's number 443. The highest rated.
Okay.
Yep. So, I mean, it definitely gets love. It just, I feel like it's in, like, right now, the past, like, 5 to 10 years, people who will love this game just haven't, like, everybody who already loved it, don't bring it up. And anybody who hasn't seen it yet is like, oh, it's old, so whatever, it's probably garbage. It's a phenomenal game. It's about bean farming.
Bonanza,
hands down. Doesn't get enough love. Everybody who's played it falls in love with it because that negotiation, if you like Settlers of Catan or even Monopoly for that reason, then you can get behind the negotiation involved in Bonanza. If you like set collection, you can get behind that. If you like anything Uwe Rosenberg has done and you like farming, that's all he's done.
So basically, Uwe Rosenberg's game.
Yeah, that's all he's done. So I don't know where I'm bringing that up. Yeah, bing! Yeah, exactly. You can't discredit it because it's a farming game. It's not a farming simulation. It is a straight-up shenanigan negotiation game. You get the best backdoor deals. This is my favorite negotiation game as far as like trading and stuff, second to or no, my favorite with Sheriff of Nottingham right below it. It does beat out Sheriff of Nottingham hands down. It's so good. I can't praise it enough. If you have not played it, you need to try it. You need to try it, please.
Yeah, I did enjoy it. But I don't know. I still see it talked about sometimes. Again, I'm part of like three different board game groups, so one of the a Dark Elf says one of the few, if only, games where hand card order matters. Yes, that is true. My thing is, I don't really think it's not that unloved as, and I'm not saying it's a bad pick. I see it still talked about, like when people mentioning, hey, do you know a quick card game that does well? And people would say Bonanza and stuff like that. And then Amigo supposedly is doing a 15-year reprint or some odd
Oh yeah,
weird
like
number on
yeah,
it.
25-year reprint, the 20th
Yes.
anniversary. Yeah.
Yeah.
It came out in 1999, I believe, or 97. No, I just think that honestly, like if you have a copy of Bonanza and you have any game group, you can forget about playing it at first, but make
Yeah,
sure
it
it
is an
gets to the
older one.
table at
And
some
see,
point.
Dark Elf says, yeah, they talk about it a lot on their podcast, so.
Yeah. I think the only reason it's not talked about as much is because it's older. That's
It's
really
older.
the only real thing. So feel free to call that as a as with an asterisk, like,
Yeah.
but yeah, but I feel like a lot of non-gamers can get really behind it too as well. So
Except for my wife, she hates that game.
she hates every game.
Yeah, pretty much. She likes what she likes, and Bonanza is not one of them.
I
Though
mean,
she does love Keyforge, so there's that.
yeah, man, yeah. So she's just basically a Magic player.
Not necessarily.
Like, I
She
mean, she doesn't like not exactly, but I mean, like the I there's a lot of Magic players. I remember I tried to convert some Magic players from Magic into board gaming, and then I remember like there's some like our friend Peter, he will gladly do it. He's like, yeah, show me that, and he became a board gamer because of how all these games, and so he's willing to learn it. Another friend, Justin, he would play games. He would always be cool about it. But there is like a couple that I'm like, hey, let me tell you about this game. They're like, no, nah, it's not Magic, so therefore I'm not interested. And it's
Yeah.
like, dude, like open your mind. I promise, if you give it a shot. I'm not saying that's what your wife is, but you know what I mean. Like, it's
No, I think the issue
spread
with
the
it is
love.
my wife is one of those people that doesn't want to rely on other people for
For her
her
victory.
chances of winning. And so, like with that, with the negotiation and stuff like that.
Yeah, that makes sense. So we're going to take a very, very, very quick pause, real quick, while I mute it, and we'll be back in a second. Sorry about that. And so that was my final one, Bonanza. I think this is an interesting list. And any of the games that you've heard us bring up in the comments, any of that our friends who are watching this, that have mentioned, or any ones that we've mentioned, definitely go check them out. Like, get them in your radar, and then maybe you'll find the newest, greatest game you love. I have a few that I'm already going to be checking, so I'm
I got
excited.
one. And a few others. I could pull up the comment section so I could pick it up. But
There we
yeah, there's
go.
a couple that I'm like, okay, that looks interesting.
And we want to thank Dark Elf, Smite, Ithri. Thank you guys
Ithri.
all for telling us your games that need more love. We appreciate all the input as always, all the chatting. And with that being said, if you'd like to watch us record this live, go to twitch.tv/everydayboardgames.
As well as the re-upload of the videos on YouTube at Everyday Board Games 2020. The audio versions can also be found at Podbean Everyday Board Games podcast.
And if you'd like to contact us directly, it's everydayboardgames2020@gmail.com.
As well as you can find us on Twitter at EBG Podcast 2020.
So as always, I've been Daniel,
And Daniel.
and we want to thank you for tuning in.
Goodbye.